Stadium on Sunday. Our coverage begins with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. That's going to be, of course, Hugh and Andy Bunker at 9 a.m. on Sunday, Northside Drive. Always a festive party with you and Bunky Pants. And then at 11 o'clock, we got Harry and Paul with the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. And, of course, the kick at 1 o'clock with Wes and Dave, all live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Falcons are underdogs at home against the Rams in this game. They're three-point underdogs at home, maybe rightfully so, against the defending NFC champions. And every Thursday, we invite Chad Millman from the Action Network Hugh into our show, and he gives us kind of a rundown. If you've never been to actionnetwork.com, one of the great gambling sites out there, kind of a rundown on things. And yesterday, he was on the program, and we were talking about the Falcons and the Rams and stuff like that. And we kind of decided to have a little bit of fun with the fact that the Falcons haven't had a sack in forever and a day. And it kind of goes to the morning menu question that Abe asked earlier this morning about who's going to have more sacks on Sunday, Aaron Donald or the Atlanta Falcons. And so I decided to ask Chad if he would make a line for us. And this is what that sounded like. Rams and Falcons, the line has actually dropped. You know, the Falcons still underdogs at home. Getting 3 points against the Rams. How are you going to play this game, Chad?
I think I like the Falcons. Jalen Ramsey or no Jalen Ramsey, this is not a team that is functioning at a high level. What's really concerning is their offensive line is horrible. I would favor the short home dog in this spot.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me in so many words that we could potentially get some sacks this weekend?
Some what?
That may be the case. I'm not going to promise anything, but I will promise that there's a better opportunity to do it this week than there has been in any other week.
We've been in so much of a sack drought here in Atlanta. We'll take close. That's an almost.
Hey, Chad, do my buddy Hugh a favor here. Set a line just right now for us publicly.
Over
under number of sacks the Falcons get this week.
Just a friendly wager.
I will put it at 1.5.
Ooh, hey, you know what?
Which way you lead it, Chad?
I'm going to lean to the over.
Oh. Hey, I'll take it. That's the bar is kind of set kind of low, but that's cool. It's cool. It's better than it has been in the last 3 weeks. I'll take it all day.
Yeah, it was yesterday with Chad Millman again. He's on every Thursday at 8:40 at actionnetwork.com. And he says over under 1.5 sacks. Hugh, do you think the Falcons actually get to the quarterback this week? I mean, if you had to guess, without talking about the line here, are they going to get a sack for the first time in a month?
I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to say yes. I think they are. I've been kind of down on them all week long, but I'm going to give them that. I think that they turn it around this week because you've heard some of the testimonials by some of the defensive players for Coach Quinn. It's time to get it done. It's time to get it done, and, you know, good week of work, all that other cliche stuff. Got to get it done. So I'm going to say yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to get a sack too. And, boy, the cheer is going to go up. You'll hear the cheer throughout the South when the Falcons finally get a sack and knock Jared Goff to the ground here. The Rams' offensive line is just bad enough. And then, of course, we don't know, Hugh, about Todd Gurley. And, you know, they say his quad is fine. I think the expectation is that Gurley's going to be healthy, but he didn't play last week. And if he's slowed at all, maybe you have a slower Rams running game and maybe that benefits you, and maybe you could take advantage of that a little bit. But they do still have great wideouts that sprint down the field. And, you know, not getting beat deep, and they get beat deep a lot, this defense does, is going to be a big key in this game because you know how it works, Hugh, with the Falcons this year. Quarterback has a struggle week, and then the next week he comes back and he gets healthy in a big hurry.
Yeah, I think that when you look at some of the things that you would think that would be an advantage for the Atlanta Falcons, that has not been the case. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I'm trying to be as optimistic as I possibly can, but defensively, they have not done anything to make me comfortable in saying that they're going to win a football game. They haven't, and that's a fact. And I'm really being optimistic thinking that they're going to get to the quarterback because, like I said, John, you've had four the best opportunities that you could possibly have all season long to pad your stats. You didn't take advantage of any of those situations. So that leads me to believe that it's not going to be anything different against this L.A. Rams, this struggling L.A. Rams team.
We're talking about the Falcons and the Rams coming up Sunday on the morning show with John and Hugh. And, of course, you look back at a couple of these games that, boy, you know, if you just played better at the beginning of the game, you would be in a much better position. We'd be having a different conversation right now about Dan Quinn, about the Atlanta Falcons, had they just played for 5 minutes better against Arizona in the first half, or for 5 minutes better in the first half against Tennessee. And Marcus Mariota is struggling so badly as a quarterback. He got benched. He got flat benched for the Tennessee Titans, and we made him look like he was Johnny Unitas out there. And so this defense has got to bow up here. It got so bad that there was almost an admission last week by Dan Quinn after, you know, the way the Houston Texans had run through you. When you win the toss, he did something that almost no coach almost did. The Falcons won the toss, and they took the ball. Now, as it turned out, Hugh, they were able to take the ball, go down the field, get a touchdown, set the tone for the first half, and then it all fell apart even then. You know, so, you know, you say, well, you got to get out and get to an early lead. It's exactly what they did on the road in Arizona.
Yeah, but that defense has not done anything to help them out up until this point. And before that, John, Coach Quinn would always defer and put his dogs out there, or supposedly you put your dogs out there first. Let them set the tone. That hasn't been the case. As a former defender, that would be a dagger to the heart for me, because that – his faith, whether he says it or not, has shifted. It has, because he prided himself on putting his defense out there first, because he's a defensive coach and it's one in the trenches, all that.
You know, the morning menu questions that Abe had for us this morning that are up at our Twitter at 99 the game. Second question is, who will have more sacks on Sunday, Aaron Donald or the entire Falcons pass rush? Really should be the entire Falcons defense, everybody included. I guess that is. That's the pass rush. But the third question about what is your biggest fear or phobia? Well, at the moment, Falcons defense ain't it. Nobody's fear or phobia. You're not even – Hugh, people come in here, Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, they come in here with disregard. I mean, just total disregard.
I don't know about that, John. I think it's more – you still respect – they still get respect because they're an NFL football team, but – they're not feared. They're not thought of in the same way as the Chicago Bears defense. It's not like, you know, you don't want to. You don't like, they're to the point now where you don't want to wake up the sleeping giant. You don't want to be the team that's going to wake up the sleeping giant. That's where they are. This Falcons team is dangerous. So let's not forget that. People still look at them. Oh, they still got Julio Jones. They still have Devontae Freeman, and they still have Matt Ryan. So they could potentially be dangerous. So you don't want to be totally disrespectful. But at the same time, you're looking at that film and you're starting to put yourself in that realm where teams don't want to be the team to wake up the sleeping giant. They don't want to be the team to poke the bear. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Because this team can still, you know, turn it around and become a formidable opponent. So I'm thinking. So that's where you are now. I remember the year we were 1-15. Well, we were 1-13 with the Jets, and who was that at the time? Ty Detmer said something. We were playing, getting ready to play the Eagles, and Ty said something to the effect that we'll be stupid to lose to the New York Jets in a situation like this. And a lot of us took that to heart. I definitely took it to heart. And I tried to make it my personal mission to go out there and beat the Eagles. Now, we didn't beat them, but, boy, we came, like, you know, if you talk about a moral victory, we came really, really close. I think it was like a one-point loss or something like that. But we were trying to send them home. So you don't want to be that team. But right now, this Falcons football team has done nothing to make you think that they're going to wake up this weekend.
And we're talking about the Falcons and the Rams, some of the keys to the game on Sunday, 1 o'clock kick at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, live on Sports Radio 92 on the game, John and Hugh on the morning show. And I got to tell you a little bit, let's flip this around and take it to the other side, because you brought it up about, if you're Wade Phillips, the defensive coordinator of the L.A. Rams, you have a lot that's kind of moving parts here. You do have Aaron Donald, you do have Dante Fowler, but you don't have Clay Matthews. He's got a broken jaw. You just lost Aqib Talib. Those are two gigantic injuries to you. You traded away Marcus Peters. You bring in Jalen Ramsey, who we still expect to play on Sunday. But now, if you're the L.A. Rams defense, do you have to, Hugh, you always account for 11 when you go out there. When you're thinking about the Falcons, where's 11? You got to spy him. You got to find him. Do you now have to account for Austin Hooper? Because right now, Austin Hooper leads every tight end in the NFL with 42 catches. Matter of fact, Austin Hooper's having such a great year. 42 catches, and by the stats, the way they keep them, no drops this season. Not one drop.
Julio still is the focal. He's the tip of the spear. And I would probably say after that, Calvin Ridley, because there's been, an attempt to try to get the ball to him a little bit more. It hasn't happened. But the bottom line, John, is that if I get pressure on your quarterback, all of those guys are a moot point, which they have been the last couple weeks. The reason why I think that Austin Hooper has been so clutch in the last few weeks is because he's been the check down guy, and he's been a guy who has been the safety valve, because you can't push the ball down the field. And I'm not taking anything away from his game, but when you look at this Atlanta Falcons team and the way that they're built to push the ball down the field and try to get the ball to Julio Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And because they can't do that, Austin Hooper's eating. He's benefiting from that. But if this Rams team comes out and does what they want to do, then, yeah, I'll let Austin Hooper catch the ball all he want. Not going to get, as long as they don't win the game. I mean, you let him eat. But that's not the dagger. That's not what's going to hurt you. Julio is the one that's going to hurt you if you let him.
The Rams and Falcons again, 9 a.m. with Hugh and Andy from the Wade Ford tailgate show on Northside Drive. If you've never been, it's a lot of fun. If you're going to be out there early, getting your rep ready and prepped for the game, join the guys for the tailgate right there on Northside Drive. You can't miss the big Wade Ford bus. It's right across from the Gold Lot, I think, right?
Yeah, but it's going to be my man, me and Will, this weekend.
Oh.
Will Panach? Panach? Yeah, it's going to be me and Pelagic. I'm sorry. Will, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I mess up last names all the time, so it's nothing personal. But yeah, it's gonna be me and my man Will.
All right, go see Hugh and Will, and then of course those guys will be doing the Wade Ford tailgate show 9 to 11 outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Hey, another big event that if you want to be part of, the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament, which is next Wednesday. It starts and strikes in Sandy Springs. We really want you to go to our website and check it out, because you can get on Hugh's team, on my team, on any of the celebrities' teams, Brian Jordan, Muhammad Massaquoi, Marquise Grissom. You can be on their teams. And if you sign up, it's a two-game tournament, okay, just two games. The winning team gets $1,000 in cash for a two-game bowling tournament, right? It's going to be at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. We're going to have, by the way, it's going to be a party. I mean, we're going to have everything going to be flowing there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want you to come join us at the Stars and Strikes for the Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament next Wednesday. Go to 929thegame.com to our menu, to the events tab. Bring your team out. Two games, you could win $1,000. Next up, Kansas City Chiefs are in a bit of a pickle. Good news last night, they won. The bad news is who got hurt and how long he's going to be out. We'll talk about that and what their options might be after a CBS Sports Minute.
Moore is under center this time. Austin Ryder. They faked to McCoy. He's under pressure. Is Moore. He throws a corner pattern right. Caught at the 30-yard line. The Cheetah 25, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Kansas City Chiefs get a big touchdown from Tyreek Hill on a pass from Matt Moore as part of a 30-6 rout of the Denver Broncos in Denver. Boy, Vic Fangio and the Broncos are reeling right now. It kind of turned their ship around, but boy, they got just smacked in the mouth yesterday. But that's not the big story. When it comes to the National Football League, the big story is why Matt Moore was playing quarterback to begin with. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And last night, big change in the NFL. One of the questions we've been having is who is going to be the biggest threat to the New England Patriots in the AFC? You know, Buffalo's at 4-1, now Kansas City 5-2. But the Kansas City Chiefs took a major blow yesterday when this happened to their star quarterback.
DeMarcus Robinson comes in motion, and Mahomes sneaks it, and somebody better guard that ankle. Mitchell Schwartz and Martinez Rankin will guard the ankle like the guards outside Buckingham Palace. It looks like it's a first down on the quarterback sneak by Patrick Mahomes. Is he off the field? He is not. He might be hurt, Kendall. They are calling to the sideline. Mahomes may be hurt.
Oh, no.
As he went on the quarterback sneak, he is down on his left hip, and he has taken his helmet off.
Chiefs Radio Network, Pat Mahomes with a dislocated kneecap. Now, he did walk off the field, which some people are saying, why in the world did he do that if he has a dislocated kneecap? Chiefs head coach Andy Reid after the game about his situation.
Now, this isn't the end of the season, so we got to keep going.
Well, it's not, but you're 5-2. You're going to have to make a change.
Coach is on the phone right now. I would be surprised if I would probably text him right now that he would answer and on the phone looking for a quarterback. As a matter of fact, I might do that in the next break just to be nosy, see what's going on. But, yeah, that the season isn't over. And you have to figure out a way. First of all, this is number one. Patrick Mahomes was in the locker room greeting his teammates at the end of the game. So that's a good sign. You know, hopefully there wasn't any ligament damage. They're going to do some x-rays, MRIs, or whatever to find out if that's the case. So now you're just talking about healing and getting back out there. Probably going to have to wear a brace if he comes back for the rest of the season. But what are you going to do to weather the storm? Moore, I don't think he's the answer. They're going to have to, regardless of whether or not he's the answer or not, they're going to have to go out and get probably a backup quarterback. They're going to have to do that. That's a given. They're going to have to find somebody and sign them until Patrick Mahomes get healthy. You know, we kind of kicked the tires a little bit about Colin Kaepernick. Maybe he's the guy. Maybe you go out and you sign an Eli Manning. Maybe you trade for Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. I know that him and Pat Shurmur, Coach Shurmur, are really good friends. Coach Shurmur, they coach together at the Philadelphia Eagles. So maybe that's the case. Maybe you go out and get a Josh Rosen. Just all depends. All depends on if you feel this guy Moore can get the job done or not in the absence of Patrick Mahomes and how much you're willing to give up to get another quarterback if that's the case.
Right. Some of the guys that could be available include Eli Manning, include Josh Rosen with Miami. Now, Miami already has two first-round picks, and everybody thinking that they could be both top 10 picks because the Pittsburgh Steelers is their second one, and look at how Pittsburgh's playing so far this year. They could have the number one and, who knows, number seven or eight pick. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, some of the usual names that you hear at this time of the year, Hugh, that are out there and available, some of the guys. And then there's the whole thing about Colin Kaepernick. And Andy Reid, you've talked about this, and I want to kind of revisit this because I know you mentioned it at the top of the show, but for the benefit of the audience listening now, you made a really good point that Andy Reid is not one to be afraid to take, chances here. He took a chance on Michael Vick after Michael Vick had been in prison for a couple of years, and that turned out pretty well for him.
Yeah, it did. And there's so many different moving parts with this story. If Colin Kaepernick is the guy that you have singled out to be the quarterback for your team. Number one is whether or not Colin Kaepernick actually wants to play football. I think that his brand is so powerful because he doesn't play that it would probably hurt his brand a little bit. I think that he's become such an iconic figure for his cause that this would actually probably put a dent in his brand because he's a guy who is looked at as anti-management and raging against the machine, and a lot of people follow him for that. Now, if he goes out there and he plays and doesn't play well, then that also plays to the narrative of what everybody else thought. The other side of the people thought that he couldn't play. So it's one of those things. This is a truly a unique situation when it comes to what should Colin Kaepernick do.
Well, and the reason you say, oh, no, why are we listening to this name? Or you say, oh, yes, why are we listening to this name? No matter which side of the argument you fall on here, is because if Colin Kaepernick is going to play football again, at some point it becomes just untenable. He's 31 years old. He hadn't played in 3 years. At some point it just becomes untenable. But if the Kansas City Chiefs, in this particular situation, they have an offense that fits at least what we remember Colin Kaepernick as to being, kind of a mobile quarterback that runs RPO out of the shotgun, Hugh, and they have a coach who's not afraid to take a chance on a guy like Colin Kaepernick. He's proven that in the past. And you have an owner in Kansas City, in Clark Hunt, who has said in the past, Hugh, he would have no hesitation to have Colin Kaepernick. Now, this was a couple of years ago, and I don't know if the hesitation now would be, about what's taking place off the field as much as it would be about the fact that he hasn't played in 3 years, but he put Matt Moore out there. Matt Moore has not exactly been – Matt Moore was coaching high school football at the beginning of the year.
Chilling.
So I think that if Colin Kaepernick doesn't get a call from the Chiefs in this situation, I mean, he may get a call and he may turn it down. We have no idea. But, I mean, if this isn't going to be a situation that he wouldn't be kind of ready, fit for, I'm not sure I see any situation he's ready, fit for. I mean, why wouldn't it be this one? RPO fits the offense.
I mean, not only that, a quarterback that could keep this team afloat with the athletic ability that he has. That's how I look at it.
And, a team that, look, they just took Tyreek Hill. I mean, this is a team that will take, Andy Reid is not afraid
if he
to
can play.
I
didn't want to get that deep into it. If the bottom line is this, if he can play, Big Red's going to take a chance on him. That's my point. You know, regardless of how you feel about his politics or the way that his stance or anything, if he can play, then if there's any coach out there that's willing to take a chance on him, it would be Andy Reid.
And the point of that is, and this is what you were just talking about, you can bet that today in front of the media that there will be that question. His name is going to come up against it. He's going to have to. I mean, it can't not. And so we'll monitor this situation. If Colin Kaepernick came back to the NFL, it'd be the biggest story in sports this year, bar none. It would make that China story look for the NBA kind of small because it would be huge. It would everybody would be boy. Can you imagine the ratings for that news conference to introduce Colin Kaepernick back into the league? Wow, that'd be something.
I don't know about all that, John. I mean, that's I don't know. I don't know, but it would be interesting to see if Colin Kaepernick does come back to the NFL. I think it would be very interesting, and not only that, how soon can he pick up the offense of the Chiefs, and how productive can he be in a short period of time? Because there's going to be a lot of people looking at that, and this is how I look at it. Colin Kaepernick goes out there, and being realistic, hasn't played in 3 years. I don't see him lighting it up. I don't see him being Brett Favre, and having that kind of leeway to go out there and throw a couple picks and be able to survive the ridicule and the criticism. Because there's going to be a camp immediately that says this is the reason why he sat out for 3 years. This is a unique situation because it benefits, in a way, Colin Kaepernick not to play anymore. Because there's always – like, it's better for people to speculate than it is for them to know for sure whether or not you can play in the league. Because that's always going to be the conversation. Every time something like this happens, Colin Kaepernick's name always comes up. 3 years removed from the league, and that's great for him because it keeps him relevant. So now if you go out there and you play, then you're basically confirming what a lot of people already feel about you, is that you couldn't play. If you go out there, you play bad. Mm-hmm. You're confirming that. Mm-hmm. So for him to have all this speculation, I think it's great for his brand. When you're talking about the branding of, when people talk about brand and staying on brand, it's great for his brand.
Hey, the Chiefs phone is gonna ring today. You know, the Giants may be shopping Eli. The Dolphins may be shopping Rosen. Dolphins are shopping Kenyon Drake. Dolphins want draft picks after draft picks after draft picks. I mean, they're just tanking for Tua and they're openly doing it. Hawks fans, preseason's over. Next stop, regular season. Home opener is Saturday, next a week from tomorrow at State Farm Arena, the 26th against Orlando. Limited seats remain for that opener. Go to Hawks.com/tickets to get your seats for the home opener Saturday, the 26th against the Orlando Magic. When we get back in a moment, Hugh and I are going to break down some of the key games coming up this Sunday in the NFL and what they all mean after Kansas City goes to 5-2 but loses Pat Mahomes. That's next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92 on the Game.com.